The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's time for The Last Word on Wheels. Michael Sheridan is with us as ever each Thursday to talk motoring issues. And I'm fascinated by this announcement by Volvo that is going to limit the top speed of its new cars from next year because too many people get seriously injured or even killed because of excessive speeding. But what interests me is that it's going to limit the top speed of its cars to 180 kilometres per hour or 112 miles per hour, which is a speed you would never be able to do legally in Ireland.
That's absolutely right. Although no, you would actually be able to do it legally on a racetrack if you were in Mondello.
Okay.
If you were on a private road, if you were on your own land. But yes, you're absolutely right. I'm nitpicking there. The trouble is, it's one of those things where cars are built for a global market. And as long as you have Germany and a number of countries, I think Afghanistan, there's a couple of other places, Isle of Man, where there's no upper speed limit on certain stretches of road. Certain states in America, there's some roads where literally anything goes. Car makers will build cars capable of speed. And it's just, if you go through gears, like gears on a bicycle, if you pedal and if you're in the right gear, it can go very, very quickly. And that's what a modern engine can do. But what we've seen happen since in the last couple of decades is, you know, power is doubling nearly every few years, and your humble little car, which would barely take the skin off a grape years ago, now is well capable of over 100 miles an hour, 160 kilometres per hour. So Volvo had this thing, we've talked about it before, remember their vision 2020, which was that nobody would be killed or seriously injured in one of their new vehicles from 2020 on. And it's a very noble cause. So what they're doing is they're opening up the debate. They're not saying that this is the right way to do it, and they're not saying that speed is the only factor in fatalities. It is a factor, but there are others.
Okay, there's a number of things that raises that I want to bring up to you, but I just want to first of all just get clarity. I don't know how many of our listeners have driven on an autobahn. I have never done so I don't know what it's like. But you say anything goes on most parts of the autobahn, there is no maximum speed.
On about 30%, there's speed limits. Autobahn, there's about 14,000 kilometres of autobahn, which is de-restricted. Of that, 70% is de-restricted. So what you'll have is you'll have wonderful long stretches of road. Now, I've driven an autobahn frequently and in lots of cars. Some cars are very capable of performing a high speed because they have the right tyres, the right engine, and better, most importantly, the right brakes that are designed to stop and get rid of speed very rapidly. You know the way when you were learning to drive, you were giving braking distance, which everybody forgets as soon as they pass their test. But a high performance car is not only good at going quickly, they're very good at going slowly, very safely, because they'll have really expensive rubber keeping them in contact with the road. So, I mean, I've tipped along the outside lane on an autobahn at 280 kilometres, which is about just around 170 miles an hour. And you're well able to do it if you're in the right machine and you have the right vision and you're driving appropriately. If you go into the outside lane on an autobahn, you need to know what you're doing. Otherwise, you'll be flashed and beeped out of it and you'll be in the wrong place. And most Germans have much more discipline because they go through much more driver training as well.
OK, but 409 people apparently in 2017 died in collisions on the autobahn.
A large number, but again, it's a large population. And the Autobahn Network, which is often credited to the German Chancellor, the little Austrian, but it was actually starting to take place in the early 30s in Germany. And it was a way of just, look, we've got these big cities, industrial cities. People have to get efficiently from them. So there was, you know, an uptake on what, you know, horse and carriages were doing. Give me a straight line and a decent road. Germany did this, and it was part of the reason of its economic success.
But it's fascinating to me. I didn't realise this, that Germans are a bit like the way Americans are with their guns when it comes to speed limits on their cars. And that there was even a hint of a yellow vest protest earlier this year when it was suggested that the speed limits would be enforced on the autobahn.
Yeah, I think a solid half of the population of Germany would start a civil war if speed limits were imposed. They tried after the after World War II because of fuel rationing and so on to introduce the speed limit. It lasted for a while and then it went by the wayside. But when you have such key cities and the need to be able to drive through them and between one and the other very quickly in superior machines that most cars that you see on Irish roads, that's why you have, when we go look at the size of that big Merc or that big Volvo or that big BMW, they make absolute utter sense when you're cruising along on an autobahn at higher speed because they're so capable of it, they're comfortable, and they're capable of stopping and gripping and driving at higher speed. So Germany, literally, they have enough rules and regulations. They're obsessed with rules and regulations, but don't mess with their autobahn.
But hang on, but what about carbon emissions? Because is it not the case that if you are running your car at higher speeds, you're burning up
Absolutely.
More fuel?
And that's the argument, which is the one which you can't argue against. Because, yes, when you use an internal combustion engine to generate power, the more power you create, the more emissions and the more toxins come out of the tailpipe. And that is an argument you can't argue against it. If everybody reduced their speed, and they're saying if they brought in a speed limit of 75 miles an hour, if they, like ours, 120 kilometres per hour, they'd go much further to reduce their carbon targets. But the trouble is that's the distance people travelling between their journey times and so on. Because speed is our friend here in Ireland as well. Anybody who's on the commute in and out of cities or on a satellite town, if they're not making adequate progress, you know, I'm not talking excessive speed, but if you can go a little bit quicker, 10 kilometres an hour on a 100 kilometre journey makes a difference, and it's time you're getting back. And if you can do that safely, that's great.
Okay, but this did get me to thinking that about the possibility of using speed limiters on all cars for
yes.
two reasons. One, for carbon emissions. Secondly, for reasons of safety. That if we are genuine in our belief that speed does kill, and that speed means that you're more likely to have accidents, and it also means that the collisions are more likely to cause fatalities or very, very serious injuries. If Volvo can build a car that won't go any faster than 180 kilometres per hour, isn't it possible to install technology on all cars to limit it perhaps to what the speed limit is on a particular road in which they're going?
Absolutely.
To stop the car from actually, the driver from actually putting the car at a higher speed.
Absolutely. It's,
but why don't we?
The technology is there. The car companies are reluctant to voluntarily agree to a code where they say, let's all put speed limiters. Let's all put a maximum speed. In Germany, there is a maximum speed on cars, but it's at an autobahn speed. So you can do 150 miles an hour, but no more. And you have to get that electronically removed if you need to. So that was it, sort of their gentleman's agreement. We have cars now which have cameras which will recognise speed signs, which can know geographically where they are. So you could
GPS tracking.
You could geofence wherever you want. So one of the noble things, again, and Volvo are very good for getting discussions going on this, is you could geofence around schools, you could geofence around pedestrian areas and so on, that people would be aware when they hit that area, all of a sudden their car's electronics do not allow that car to proceed at any unnecessary speed or excessive speed. Because speed in itself isn't a problem, it's inappropriate speed. And we often blanket use the thing, speed, slow down, for God's sake, slow down. It's not, for God's sake, pay attention and use the appropriate speed for the area you're in. But the tech
or
is there.
Or for your level of skill of driving.
Absolutely, because again, if you have no idea what you're doing, you can be completely in the right, but if you're doing 60 kilometres in the outside lane of a motorway, you're a hazard to everybody else and yourself. So the tech is there, but what's missing at the moment is we've got tech which works guaranteed below, say, 50 kilometres an hour, like automatic emergency braking, autonomous emergency braking, where the car senses a collision is going to happen, and at speeds below 50 kilometres per hour, it's guaranteed to stop and not hit whatever it was going to collide with. Above that speed, it's only mitigated. So a lot of these systems will actually work up to 80 kilometres per hour. But above that, there's still a problem, because there's a lot of complicated maths and a lot of things that sensors have to do. And not everybody has the most up-to-date car with these safety features in them.
Presumably in the future, when we eventually get to autonomous driving, we're going to be in a situation where nobody will be speeding.
Yeah. And again,
and it'll be much, much safer.
And if you manually try and drive your car, it'll probably drive you straight to the Garda station like Hal in 2001. That the tech is there and the tech is coming. That, you know, you've smart speed limiters now available on a lot of modern cars as well. And that's where they see a speed sign, they will automatically reduce down whatever your cruise control was set at to that speed limit. So the trouble that I find when I'm testing a lot of these cars is that the speed sign inconsistency, and there's also geolocation positioning of the car, which sometimes there's phantom times when your car suddenly slows down because it thinks it's in a slower area than it is. So it's not perfect yet, but it's getting there. But active speed limiters, you'll hear of these things, and they're something you should look at when you're buying a car. And all of these advanced driver assistance systems, ADAS systems, any new car you're getting, make sure you load it up with these.
Well, also you can also put a maximum speed in, but also the car will slow you if you come within a certain distance of the car in front
Adaptive
of you.
Adaptive cruise
well.
Control is very common. The old days cruise control, the mechanical version you used to even have on Harley bikes, was a little screw that you put beside the accelerator and you just tightened it so the accelerator would stay at a certain speed. Old cruise control was the same thing. You pressed a button and it kept you going at a speed. Adaptive cruise control sees if there's any traffic in front of you and adapts and will slow down, and modern systems will come to a stop and they'll even start off again without you having to touch the accelerator or the brake. But that tech is all coming. Unfortunately, the fleet and the cars that we can all afford to be in now at the moment, only a small percentage of those cars are equipped with that type of tech. But Volvo is doing a noble thing by getting the discussion started. But ultimately, the tech will come from the car companies and we will all be in a safer place.
I'm going to put out to listeners, because I wonder if our listeners, Michael, listening to this, would like the idea of having speed limits forced upon them by the technology in their car, that their own choice as to whether they actually want to go faster than 120 kilometres per hour or faster than 100 in other places where that's the limit, be it for overtaking, be it for other circumstances, to have that removed from them. Maybe even to have it as a condition of their insurance.
Well,
we've spoken about this for younger people.
True, because they're tracked, and if they perform well on driver scores, they can get reduced insurance. The only trouble is, most people, when they're doing an overtake on a dual carriageway or a motorway, will end up breaking the speed limit for a temporary period. There's times when you need to efficiently get past something, and there are times when you are safer actually breaking the speed limit to get away or to get out of harm's way. But it's one of those things that on paper you can't argue with the morality of it. You know, if everybody should be complying, and if this was the case, there'd be fewer accidents. But we just need to separate speeding from inappropriate speed.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.